You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
All right, yo, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm, and this is Toward Anarchy. We do this thing live every Sunday right here across the Republic Broadcasting Network all around the world. And why? Who knows? Because somebody needed some time filled, and I was there. That's all it really comes. Now, there really is a purpose behind it all, and I guess it's that I hope you get a little something out of it, maybe learn a little something new. If not, I certainly do, because I have these amazing conversations with some of these people from just all different walks of life, and it just amazes me to sit here and talk to these people and find out what their world is like, you know, how different it is from my own, the experiences that they've had and the love and the ideas and everything else that they've had to share throughout their lives and how it's been received and who they've given it to. Everything about some of these people just amazes me, and their drive to continue to do the things that they do, even in the face of you know, sort of growing tyranny and really no hope for the average person, I guess you might say. Most people are just going to be stuck in the morass of daily life, influenced by government and third parties and bankers and the New World Order and all of these things. And I get it. I feel you. If you feel like you're not in control, you're losing control, and that it's all sort of coming apart at the seams. But I just want to reassure you of something. You never had control in the first place. That's an illusion. The only thing that you have control over is you, and that's, you know, fairly relative in and of itself, because you're surrounded by the rest of the world, and what you do reverberates as well as it's as enhanced as it is limited by a number of things that you could or couldn't possibly do at any one given moment. And I just love contemplating these ideas and being able to bring it here. And I appreciate the fact that you come here and listen every week. And a lot of you do. Keep coming back for more, you gluttons for punishment. But I keep providing. So I guess you'll just keep doing that until I stop providing, right? Fantastic show for you today. Terrell Carter, he's a former police officer. He crossed the thin blue line. He now builds communities instead of preying on them. And I have this amazing conversation with him. And I can tell you it's an amazing conversation already, because it was recorded just a couple of days ago. He was not able. He's a church-going man, and he's in church right now. And he wasn't able to make the live show. Sundays just do not work for him. So we recorded the show. It's an amazing conversation. You don't want to miss this one. And I know I say that a lot, but this really is one of the great ones. One of the reasons that I do this show is to have conversations like this and to expose truth like Terrell has to offer. You are going to be blown away by some of the, you know it. This is the thing about it. I even mentioned this to him at one point in our conversation, that you know that it's this bad, that it's all of these things, whether it's, you know, the public education system, or whether it's policing, or whether it's, you know, inside our criminal courts, or whether it's actually in the halls of Congress, whatever it is, we know it's bad. But you just don't have that official confirming notion, feeling, idea until you look somebody in the eyes and you ask them about their experience and what it is that they've done and how it is that they got where they are today and became who they are. And it's a mind-blowing conversation. So that's coming up here with Terrell Carter. As always, you can follow along at towardanarchy.com. And if you're looking specifically for the show, it's August 29th show. If it's not right there on the front page, you can click on the episodes button and you can search for it, or you can just click on 2021, look for August 29th. You'll see right there, Terrell Carter, former police officer, crossed the thin blue line. Again, the conversation is recorded, so I know that there's just some amazing stuff to look forward to, and some of the things he's going to say, your jaw is going to hit the floor. You can find out more about Terrell by visiting towardanarchy.com. As always, I've shared some links there for you. There's a link to the Rise St. Louis website, which is about community development, and Terrell Carter is the head of that. He's the executive director and president of RISE. And it's out of St. Louis. He's out of Missouri. He spends a lot of time working in those communities. But he's you know, sort of nationwide and reaching people. And you can find out more specifically about him. I gave you an entry point to the bio page for Terrell Carter on the Rise St. Louis website. But that's, you know, that's just a starting point. You can look all over the site, and you will be, again, amazed at the work that they are doing there. You know, they're working with communities, and then they're working with other organizations as well to work in their communities. And they have a community bank set up and lending where, you know, it's not, while it's, you know, it's protected and regulated and all that. It doesn't fall under the same practices as sort of, you know, Wells Fargo or somebody like that. These larger banks, and where they have these metrics and these numbers that they base their lending on, as opposed to, you know, need, knowing an individual, you know, speculating about what the reality of what that person is trying to accomplish is going to bring to the community. And then it's the community investing in those people. It's amazing. And so all that and more is coming up. We'll start the conversation at the bottom of the hour, and we'll break it up into broken up into three parts, even though the conversation continues. It's the beauty of being able to record it. I just try to record basically the amount of time that we have, you know, between breaks, and cut it up and hopefully squeeze it in. So hopefully I got all the numbers right and everything, but we'll get it figured out. You'll be able to hear the whole thing. And I made it a point to do about 5 minutes of overtime. You won't notice it because we don't speak about it that way. I don't talk about the show to him while we're having the conversation. What's the point? It's different when I'm live with you and I'm talking to you, and he happens to be here and I'm talking. But when I have these straight conversations, I don't do that. I don't really talk about the show or any of it, and the conversation just continues. So while it may seem like you're missing something, when we go into a break, I guarantee you we're not. I did not cut out a single word of this conversation. I cut off stuff at the beginning and the end where we're just chatting about other things, and there'll be a video for that. We caught the video. We'll throw that up on YouTube, so you'll get to see some of those extra things. Terrell invited me to come be a guest on his show and talk about the things that this show and this network are doing to try to reach people and change community and change minds. And it's the whole thing is just amazing, and I can't wait to dive into it. This is one where I will be sitting here again and re-listening, it's a little bit different in the moment talking to somebody than it is to go back and listen to yourself, talk to them, and listen to what they say again. It's completely different, trust me. So I'll be listening at the same time that you are and trying to remember some of these amazing things that were just said. And so, as always, I have all these things up there on towardanarchy.com, and you can follow along there. Look for August 29th, and I shared a few links with you. Remember what I told you about the Delphi technique? I've talked about it over and over again over the years and mentioned it again last weekend, and about how Michael Howell and I were talking about it, and how it's used to narrow your choices to a predetermined set of options, and particularly when you're talking about voting on something. So your community leaders come in and they have two sets of ideas that they're working with, and that's all that they're going to give you. They'll allow conversation about all of these other things, but when it comes down to the vote, when it comes down to this decision, these are the only things that you're going to vote on. And it's important because this is how they manipulate the entirety of the system. It's fake. It's you're believing that you're going in having a choice, but you don't, because the choices have been narrowed to you. And if you think about it, this is exactly what parents do to children. Good parents, believe it or not, good parents do to children. They give them options so that they feel like they're empowered, so that they feel like they're making a choice for themselves. But the reality is that you have chosen those decisions to put forth to the child, and either one of them suits you if you're doing it right. Of course, if you're just talking about reward versus punishment, that's not really decisions. That's do what I say or you'll be punished. That's not the same thing as offering children choices, but that's it. So government treats us like petulant children that they don't want to face and don't want to deal with. And so there's this article, one of the listeners shared it after I'd been talking about this, and I thought it was just amazing, and they're like, well, there's lots of articles out there about this, and I said, it doesn't matter here, let's just throw this one up there and look at it, because they're all going to tell you basically the same thing, and that's what I'm telling you, is that the better parents will offer children choices, but of course those choices are within what the parents want to achieve in addressing the child or getting the child to do something. And so that's what government treats us like. It treats us like children. It thinks it's our parents. It thinks it has the right to rule over us, and you know, most of us have never stood up and said, no, I don't think that you have that right. So this is a great little article there from one of the AHA parenting website. And it's just talk about, you know, sort of positive discipline methods and things like that, and ways to communicate with your children. This is nonviolent parenting techniques. These are things where you're trying to use reason and logic as opposed to sort of violence and coercion, even though that this method is something of a coercive method. But that's the point for us. I mean, you make these decisions for you when you need to deal with your children. But the point for us is how it reflects what government does to us. And so check out that article and then reconsider how government treats you and how government behaves towards you. Another article I shared there, and this is a thing that I don't know if I brought it up on the show. I'm sure it's come up, at least in passing, because a lot of people do it. A lot of normal people do it, and that's they shop at these dollar stores. And I've been telling people for years, because it's obvious to anybody who has even a basic understanding of math and economics, and then takes a look at what's in the store. You go in the store and handle the product and look at it and see what it is and how much you get for what you pay for. And the reality is that these dollar stores, I think they're all owned by the same company, even all the different variations of the names, the Dollar General, Dollar Store. I think they're all owned by the same company. I could be wrong about that, but I believe they're all owned by the same company. If not, they still follow the exact same model. So whether I'm talking about one or the other isn't important. They follow the exact same model. They prey on the economically challenged, which is basically most people. And so their existence is literally at the expense of others. And of course, the assumption is when you see the dollar store, this is, you know, people who don't think critically, which is most people, the assumption is that the dollar store is providing these products at the absolute bare bottom cheapest prices. But the truth is that they make more per piece than those box stores you hate when you break it down. And this is what happens. One, they sell you cheaper quality product, so it doesn't last as long. Two, they package it in smaller packages, and I don't mean the size of the package is smaller. I mean the amount of product that's in the package is smaller. So, and it, this is the way I've taught my children to shop, and I hope you teach your own children to shop this way. Otherwise, you were seriously disadvantaging them, is to look at the per unit, the per piece price of something before you buy. I see this all the time, and it's weird because it's kind of cutting your own throat if you're a retailer. Walmart, everybody, they do it. You get the single version of something, the single-use version of something, the single-item version of something, and you buy it for X price per unit, and then there's the multi-pack, you know, four of them or something like that, and you pay, you know, just slightly, probably, most likely in most places, but not always, under the per-piece unit price. So if you bought the four pieces in one package, you pay less for the four pieces individually than you would for the one individual piece. Yes, you're paying more because you're getting four of them, but you're not paying as much as if you bought four of them individually. And then what happens is then there's a bigger pack. There's the mega pack. There's the 12 pack or the 20 pack or what, you know, whatever this product is, or the chips or soda or whatever it is, candy, chicken wings. They're all. It happens in all of them, and you have to watch the per piece price. So you think, all right, I buy four of them, I get myself a great deal. I only have to pay for about three and a half of them. What if I buy 20 of them? You know, even at that rate, don't I only pay for about 15 and a half of them, right? Something like that. But then you look at the math, you look at the per piece price, and you see, oh my gosh, the per piece price on the 20 pack is actually more than the per piece price on the four pack. It happens all the time. If you're not watching that, you are. That's how you're being scammed at the dollar store. The per piece price of units, and people just don't think about that stuff. They're not taught to shop that way. They're taught to compare prices, but they're not necessarily taught to compare prices of the same product, from the same company, from the same manufacturer, because they'll do it all the time. And a lot of times, maybe the per piece price is pennies, and so it doesn't really make that big of a difference. But it's actually a neat thing to watch. I encourage you to do it. I really do. If you've never done it before, start looking at per piece prices and start watching how what you assume should be the right thing to do. The more I buy, the less I pay. Isn't always the case. Watch it. And it's definitely the case at the dollar stores. A quote for you: the individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened, but no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself. That's from Rudyard Kipling. And as always, the link is there if you want to find out more about him, the author, and what the things that he's created. And you do so. Just remember, as always, keep that distance, keep that separation between what a person creates and who that person is, what a person does, and for a living, to produce, is entirely different for who they are. To who they are as an individual, oftentimes it happens all the time. You see people who aren't the same person when the uniform is off. whatever it is, whatever their work uniform might be, they're just a completely different person. And then, you, depending on what that job is, you're going to ask, well, why are you different in this case? Why are you different right now than when you're doing these other things that affect other people? We'll come back and I'll show you a neat little meme, as it were, and we'll get on to this show.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created below.
WardAnarchy.com. Jump up there, point your browser in that direction, follow along. I'm working with producer Sam right now to get the interview all set up, or the conversation all set up to play in the right order. Hopefully I did everything right. It amazes me. You can do it 1,000 times and there's always 10 seconds here or 5 seconds there. So, yeah, I don't know. It's time, and it's wibbly-wobbly. That's what it is. We'll have this thing for you. Terrell Carter, amazing conversation, former cop. Of course, to follow along, just go to towardanarchy.com and look for August 29th. And we will kick off right after this next break. We'll kick off the conversation, and I'll jump in live for the little short segments, you know, just before the top of the hour and just at the bottom of the next hour. But I have, you know, conversation for you through that, the rest of that whole time, the big segments, you know, sort of 45 minutes, 43 minutes or something like that, of total conversation, including that extra 5 little minutes of overtime, which I specifically set aside and separate and into the last half hour, so that we can, so that Terrell had an opportunity to tell me about what the amazing work that they do at Rise. So it's almost like its own separate thing, but it's not. Again, nothing is cut out of this, and you won't miss a single thing. And we're just going to. I'm telling you, your jaw will hit the floor. This meme I had to share because it's so apt, and it's something that we deal with all the time, and I just want to touch on the subject because I do talk about it a lot, and it's a social media. How can we not talk about it? Millions and millions of people all around the world together in those digital spaces and sharing information. And there are third parties and other interested parties in the middle of that conversation and trying to interfere with it. And they create noise. They interfere with the conversation. They make it hard for me to communicate to the people who want to hear me because of this third party noise that gets in the way. So there's this wonderful meme that was going around. It's if Facebook existed in 1776, and it's this sort of artistic drawing of Paul Revere riding through the countryside, hollering, "The British are coming, the British are coming." And of course, Facebook would tell you that that's false information that's been checked by independent fact checkers. And they give you a button to see why. And if you clicked on it, they'd tell you, well, not all the British are coming. It's only the British army. So this story is at least partly false. And it's just apropos. It really truly is what we're dealing with in the realm of the social media and the so-called, you know, fact checks. And none of us signed up for Facebook to get Facebook's opinion about somebody else's opinion. You know what I mean? That's not what we signed up for. We were sold on the idea that you know, Facebook is this digital playground where you can come and create your own voluntary relationships with people all around the world and interact with these people. And that's what, you know, Facebook and these social media platforms are sold to us as. But then they proceed almost immediately to begin to interfere with those relationships, tell you who you can and can't be friends with in one way or another, blocking out, altering the content that they post or the way it appears on your page. There's so many ways that they interfere with you, not to mention the sort of blatant, we don't like what you're saying, or the government doesn't like what you're saying, or this third party doesn't like what you're saying, so we're shutting you off. Here's the thing. All of the places on Facebook and the social media are voluntary. That you can go into these rooms, these groups, these pages, and you can choose whether or not to follow something. And since we have that choice, there's no other need for anyone to interfere. And it's a real, real big problem for the Facebook people. And then you tie it into a control of information, and you see what information that they will allow and what they won't allow. And boy, you start talking about conspiracy. You have to wonder what it is what the end goal is, and who's pushing the buttons from behind. You know, who's behind that curtain, pulling the levers and pushing the buttons and making things the way they are, when we could just be left alone. We could just be left alone to our own ends and means, especially as long as we're not out there violating other people. That's what this whole anarchy thing is, right? It doesn't take study, it takes practice, and it's a real simple solution. We all already get along every single day without that need for or consideration of authority. Let's just keep doing that. We'll come back and jump into that conversation with former police officer Terrell Carter right here on Toward Anarchy.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black.
I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. Turn my head until my darkness goes.
I see a line of cars and they are painted black. With flowers and my love hope never to come back.
I see people turn their heads and quickly look away.
Is it not playing? We're not getting these things going? Yeah, this is the conversation. This is the interview. Okay, thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.
Hello, Terrell Carter. Can you hear me, sir?
I can, and I'm sorry I'm 2 minutes late. How are you doing?
No,
today?
You're fine. No, I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well, sir.
Yeah, I love your... Is that just a insert background? It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's some like artwork that I created. I'm a visual artist on top of everything else, so it's some watercolors that I used as a consideration for a book, a cover of a book that I wrote.
I love it. I'm totally in love with it. That's really cool, and it's yours too. So that's really great. What's the book?
The book was called "Healing Racial Divides: Finding Strength in Our Diversity."
And is that really just born out of your work with the community? And
it is. It was. I wrote it specifically after Michael. I wrote two books specifically after Michael Brown was shot and killed. And,
okay.
They were both academic books. So that one was about. So I'm a Christian. Doesn't matter. The point is that the community that I think that I'm most called to try to educate is white Christians, to help them understand the experiences of minorities and people who are not like them. And so anyway, the book was a way to help them understand the history of the frustrations and the struggles that minority communities have experienced in America. And, you know, what does that mean for their responsibility to try to make things better? So that's where the image comes from. It was one of three potential art images for the cover. It wasn't chosen as the cover of the book, but it now is the image for the podcast that I have called Communities Forward.
That's great. I really do love it. It was striking right away. And so I had to know all about it, had to have some history. And that's great that it turns out that it's just you. You can see my stuff is just weird things in the background, just things that I, guitar, my drum set.
I'm not mad. I'm a bass player and I'm a drummer as well.
Oh, is that right? Oh, good. So yeah, I tend to find that the kind of people that I would be interested in talking to that would strike me as just interesting on the surface tend to turn out to be musicians and writers and thinkers and people who are in touch with themselves, I think, a lot of times and want to help other people get in touch with themselves, especially if there's some a real or imagined impediment to reaching people, be it the color of the skin, religion, you mentioned that before. So all of these things, interesting, very, very interesting. Tell me about your background. You said that you didn't want to be a cop. That's right. But yet you ended up becoming one. How does that happen?
So I'll give you a roundabout way. So I am from St. Louis, Missouri. If I say we, it's because I have an identical twin brother. We're 12 minutes apart. So my grandparents were teenage parents, 16 years old. They had my father. My parents were teenage parents as well when me and my twin brother were born. Neither of our grandparents got past the eighth grade. Neither of our parents got past the 11th grade. And so our mother was murdered when we were 7 years old. And our father had not been a part of our lives previously. When they got married, when they found out they were pregnant with us, they got married and our father went off to the army at the end of Vietnam and just never came back. And so my grandparents, his parents, helped our mother raise us from birth. Our mother eventually moved us out of their home. You know, she started to try to raise us by herself. And it was just extremely hard, did not work well. And eventually my twin brother and I moved back in with our grandparents. And eventually, just very shortly after that, our mother was murdered. We grew up in North St. Louis, which at the time was a good community. Is a good community, but the community has changed over time. And so we grew up not having had positive experiences with police officers. Our community was an African-American community, and it was policed in a way that was different from other communities or white communities in the city of St. Louis. Eventually, obviously, I grew up, became a man myself, got married. And when my wife told me that she was pregnant, I was working as a carpenter's apprentice and was not making much money and did not have benefits. And literally, as I said before, I'm a person of faith. prayed for something, and obviously didn't just pray, you know, but began to look for better options. And a couple of days later, I heard an advertisement on the radio for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. And my response was like, God, this cannot be the answer to my prayer. But I had my twin brother and I had a best friend whose father was a police officer himself. He had a similar life circumstance. He was married young, became a father very young, and chose the police department as the way to take care of himself and his family. And so I called him and asked, you know, explained to him my circumstance. He understood and walked me through the benefits of the police department, which were substantial, regular paying job, benefits, insurance, and all those things. But additionally, they would pay for, at the time, they would pay for me to finish college. And if something ever happened to me while I was on duty, my family would receive a substantial payout if I was ever killed or, you know, majorly injured. And at 23 years old, I made the decision to become a police officer. And I did it, number one, to be able to take care of my family. But number two, it was also an opportunity for me to hopefully change the narrative in communities of what policing was like. And unfortunately, that did not happen through my service as an officer.
Did you find out just pretty quickly that's an altruistic vision, that there's just no really changing that system, at least not from the inside?
Well, it wasn't just that. That is part of what was wrong. But so I am not a hater of police. My frustration is with the system that is policing. Policing was not created to help people. Policing was created to satisfy a set of laws, or essentially was set, you know, created to punish people. So let's make sure to establish that the reason policing was started in the United States was to control people of color. I use Missouri as the example. In the state of Missouri, one of the last states to, you know, enter the Union and to deal with the question of slavery, policing was started as a way to protect white settlers from Native Americans who wanted to reclaim the land that had been stolen from them. And that's not a political statement. That's not a statement against any one person or group. It's just the facts of what it was. Policing, or what eventually became policing in Missouri, started out to protect white settlers from Native Americans. And as time went on, the focus went from Native Americans to slaves or freed slaves or escaped slaves. And so it then transitioned to how do we, or how do people capture slaves and then either return them to their former masters, or how do we send them to the criminal justice system where they would be sent to prison and then leased out to these same, you know, slave owners or plantation owners, where they would then pay the criminal justice system for these bodies that were given to them on a regular basis. And so policing was not started inherently to protect people. Now, over time, laws were created to, again, further hinder or further control the movement of these two particular groups of people. And then eventually it became something much bigger, much broader. But I wrote a book called Police on a Pedestal, Responsible Policing in a Culture of Worship. And the basis of that book is the question, what does it mean to have this as the foundation of law enforcement in the United States? And because these things are in the history of law enforcement in the United States, it plays out in so many different ways on a daily basis. So I didn't become a police officer because I'd always wanted to become a police officer. I became one because I wanted to take care of my family and provide for them. And then number two, as I said, to try to change the narrative. But as you alluded to, it became apparent very quickly that would not happen. But it wasn't just because of the system of policing. In another book that I wrote called Walking the Blue Line, a police officer turned community activist provides solutions to the racial divide. What I talk about in that book is this relationship between law enforcement and people. It's a two-sided relationship. So for everything that law enforcement does wrong or is questionable on this side, we have to understand that on this side, citizens also have a responsibility and they play a part in that relationship as well. And unfortunately, we don't always, as citizens, understand the relationship, understand our part in the relationship, or recognize when, you know, law enforcement has a legitimate reason to be there. And I give an example of, you know, my baby mama has done something today, and I'm sorry for being so crass, but that was a joke that we would have on the police department. My baby mama or my baby daddy did something. I'm going to call the police to punish them. Well, that's not what law enforcement is there for. And when we invite them into our relationships or into a situation, we have to be prepared for what happens after we invite them into the relationship or into a situation. And we have tried to use them as a power broker on our side. So there are multiple reasons why the relationship between citizens and law enforcement doesn't work the way that it could.
That's a whole lot of fantastic points, and you really are not going to get any argument out of me. I'm actually aware of that history, the beginnings of policing, and I absolutely believe that there's no question that policing is done for the benefit of the state, of the police themselves. It's not done for the benefit of the people.
No.
There's so many obvious sort of numbers and then legal precedents that suggest that, yeah, they have no legal responsibility to protect us. The fact that you have to call one and it's sort of 9 to 13 minutes later when they show up.
If you're lucky, it's only 9 to 13.
Yeah. Well, you alluded to that. So they policed the black communities differently, and you saw this. And that's one of the things, is that they won't respond the same way.
Right. So in the city of St. Louis, the city is... It's 51% white now, 49% black or African-American. Well, black, because it's not just African-American, but 49% minority. And we have a street in the city of St. Louis called Del Mar. And Del Mar essentially runs through the middle of the city, east to west. And we call it it divides the city east and, or north and south, excuse me. So it runs east to west, divides the city north and south. And we call it the Del Mar Divide because anything north of Del Mar is considered to be black, and anything white is considered to be south of Del Mar. Now, in reality, yes, it is predominantly black in North St. Louis, predominantly white in South St. Louis, but there is also a growing immigrant and minority population in South St. Louis. But the way policing is carried out in those two spheres of or two halves of the city is very clearly different, or we'll just... say there's a small community in a neighborhood called the Central West End, which is predominantly affluent, wealthy, and predominantly white. And when you are a police officer, you don't even have to get out of your car, or you're not expected to get out of your car when you patrol the Central West End, because these people have money, they have resources, they have lawyers, they know their rights, they know the legal system, all those different kinds of things. And what I can get away with in North St. Louis, I can't get away with in in the Central West End, because they know what's going on and they have the resources to defend themselves. When the expectation is, when we go to North St. Louis or the black population or the immigrant population in the city of St. Louis, they don't know what's going on, and we can get away with what we want to with them.
Yeah, and it's not just St. Louis, it's everywhere. Yeah. I live in Topeka, Kansas now, which is a very racially mixed a city in its own, has its own history as far as the relations between the white man and the black man, certainly, as well as the Indian, I guess, if we're going there. So it's not just, it's absolutely not just that one city. It's everywhere. It's prevalent. Yep. And it's in the nature of the business. The reality is that these men and women enter it under the idea that they're helping and they're protecting their communities, but it's just not really true. They're just coming out there and generating some revenue. And that's not to say that some of them can't be heroes and some of them can't at times really be in the right place at the right time to do something to save someone, but they're certainly under no legal obligation to do so. And it seems like they find any sort of relativistic or moralist reason to avoid anything that they can. You know,
the 5 years that I was a police officer,
I was going to ask how long.
Right. Yeah. So age 23 to 28, I tell people that at no point on any day that I worked as a police officer, no commanding officer ever told me to go out and help someone at all. Mm. They only told us, don't do anything stupid to get in trouble. Make sure you protect your partner. come back at relief or when it's time to get off. Those were the three things they told us every day. But at no point did anyone tell us to help someone. And to be truthful,
wow.
I have multiple examples of when doing the right thing was frowned upon instead of, you know, pushed or celebrated or encouraged. It was, you have to protect yourself. You have to protect your partner. You have to protect the department. Essentially at any by any means, and again that played out on a daily basis.
Right. Well, and that is ultimately what ended your relationship then with the police. Yeah.
It was. So there, I left the department because I had a partner who planted drugs, stole some money from some people, and I could not lie to the federal attorneys about that report. But that was not the first time that happened. Within the first 3 months of my tenure as an officer, I had a training officer who falsified a report in my name, and I ended up going to other officers to ask for advice. I said, hey, this is what happened. This is what he wrote and expected me to sign. How do I manage this? Because I don't feel comfortable doing this. And within 24 hours, that officer was aware that I was questioning what he did.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
I was threatened that, you know, something was going to happen to me if I didn't just do what I was told. Second time, a commanding officer essentially just told me, hey, do what you're told and you're going to be fine. Don't push back. Do what you're told and everything's going to be okay. And it just never sat. And I don't want to sound like an overly moralistic person because I was never perfect. No police officer, no human being is perfect ever. And no police officer is ever going to be able to do everything right. And I can give examples of what I mean by that. But I could not see sending someone to the federal penitentiary for something that they did not do. So again, these people that were arrested were not necessarily quote unquote good people. Mm-hmm. And one of them was legitimately a drug dealer. Another one had gone to prison before, found another person with a gun. The problem was my partner lied about the entire circumstances surrounding the arrest. And my part of my point was just tell the truth. Tell the truth and let a court decide what's going to happen, not you be the judge and jury destroying someone else's life. And the irony to all of this was that particular officer was another African-American who had African-American sons. And he complained on a daily basis about how police treated his children. And I was like, but you're doing the exact same thing to other people's children. How does that make sense?
Yeah, that's tough, boy, man. And I guess that's really the story of a lot of officers that find themselves on the outside of the system, crossing that thin blue line, and really wanting to. Wow, man, they never once told you to help the community, huh? That wasn't even in the back of their minds. Wow, what a scary thought to just think that they're just sending. Just all over the nation, they're sending sort of a million people out on the street armed every day with the notion of collect some money and pay for yourself and sure. And protect you, these people that are in that line, that the receiving line of the money, of the people that are being, let's face it, robbed over a lot of victimless crimes in some cases.
I can give you another example. Yeah. So when a police officer works a part-time job in uniform and still has their police powers, and St. Louis is called secondary. And I worked a lot of secondary. I was, again, a young father, you know, going to school, all those different kind of things. The point is that I worked from 11 at night to 7 in the morning, and I would get off at 7, and by 8 o'clock I needed to be at whatever my secondary job was. And a sergeant heard me talking about the fact that I was working so much secondary. And the sergeant said, well, you don't need to work secondary. All you need to do is just arrest somebody and apply for warrants on them, and you'll make all the money you need. And I was like, wait a minute.
What?
Right. I'm supposed to arrest people just so I can make sure that I can make overtime and I can be able to pay my bills or to pay, you know, whatever it was, versus no, don't see these people, see citizens, see the people in the community that you're patrolling as a dollar sign. And it was frustrating, to say the least. So I continued to work secondary and did not arrest people just for the sake of arresting them to make overtime.
And that's okay. So that's the first part of the conversation there, guys. And we will, right after the top of the hour, after we go through this quick break at the top of the hour, we'll pick up the second half of it with Terrell Carter right here on Toward Anarchy.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to